If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Now, here's Ira.
The Sound Podcast is part of the OSIRIS Network. OSIRIS connects you with podcasts, videos, and live experiences about the artists and topics you love. Visit OSIRISPod.com to check out our shows. In fact, you should check out No Simple Road or Inside Out with Turner and Seth. Both are great shows. OSIRIS works in partnership with Jambase, which connects music fans with the music they love and empowers them to go see live music. For more, check them out at jambase.com. The show starts now. You've been listening to the title track from Southern Avenue's latest release, Keep On. The record, the Memphis Outfit's sophomore release, is filled with great R&B, blues, and funk sounds, tightly wound in a great little package. There are outstanding vocal performances from lead singer Tierney Jackson, not to mention awesome, rather outstanding musicianship from the rest of the band, including guitar prodigy Ori Naftali. We've been fans of this band since their debut because, well, to put it succinctly, nobody else sounds like Southern Avenue, and that is a good thing. We caught up with Ori at his home in Memphis ahead of a grueling tour schedule that sees the band heading over to Europe and then back here for most of the summer. Our conversation started when I asked Ori what was different about creating Keep On.
You know, I realized that I'm always going to feel rushed because it's just we can't really go and say, okay, we're going to go off tour and write and then record, because that's how we provide. That's how we make money. So it's always going to be a struggle. We don't want to not tour. We don't want to not be out there with, like, all of our other artists, friends and colleagues and, you know, and seeing the world. So it's like, I think it's always going to be like this. The main difference, though, was that the first record was done, like half of it. There was an EP first that I sold everything. I basically, whatever I didn't own, I even that sold that and basically made a record. And then that, when we got signed, we added five more and remastered it. So it's definitely like a different now. It's we had 2 years to really plan, but anything we planned didn't really. It's not like I can tell you this is a combined vision. You know, we're partners here. Uh-huh. It's something that is not just what we want to do. You know, it's we didn't go and really try. You know, we think we just did the best we could. I think another main difference to me is that we were first record. It was me and Tierney writing and TK, and you know we wrote a lot of songs these last 2 years. But the record label sent us to songwriters that are, you know, popular and have experience and in doing radio friendly approach, and that good radio friendly is basically something that we were trying to also answer and make, you know, everybody basically happy. Mm-hmm. You know, we can go and, you know, we had to play the game but also be true to ourselves, and I think that we found the balance. And the first record wasn't like this. First record, we recorded five songs. Of course we did it, you know, we still did it focused and all, but still, like, we just did kind of what we felt was right. Now we were trying to fit into, you know, I don't know how to say it in English right, but just trying to make everybody happy, basically.
Right.
So it's a whole different process, you know.
You hooked up with Johnny Black, who produced the record. How did you hook up with him?
He was one of the songwriters that they connected us with.
Uh-huh.
And we wrote Keep On and Switch Up, She Gets Me High. I mean, when we wrote, you know, we brought all the songs. Mm-hmm. She Gets Me High, Switch Up, Switch Up maybe the least, but still, it's like we brought the songs and then we wrote it with him, being in the room and, you know, giving his ideas and suggestions. So we feel like, even though we co-wrote with him, we feel like all of these songs, especially Keep On, a concept that was me and Tierney's, and, you know, we had the vision and everything. The way that it was made was definitely, like, with him, definitely changed the way that the song was arranged, the way that the songs were, you know, because we were co-writing. And then we had a lot of producers in mind we wanted to work with, but again, you know, record labels, very slow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not personal, like everybody is. It's a big system.
Yeah.
So we couldn't get who we wanted in time. And then it was kind of, you know, so then Johnny was the person that we felt, from all the people that they connected us with, we felt like he got us the most.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, he, you know, we were like, okay, like, we can do this with him. And you know, it's like we like him, we had a good experience writing with him, not like the other writers that we didn't really connect with, and we were like, no, this is not us, I don't know what's happening here, this is not Southern Avenue. So like with him, it was like, okay, like he gets us, you know what I mean, like,
yeah.
He gets us easy, we're on the same, like, he gets it. So that's why we were like, we agreed, and you know, and it was definitely, Johnny was the medium between the label and us. It's not like we don't want to do a 7-minute rock operas necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about, you know, and also let's not forget that we really wanted to have this on vinyl, and vinyl has a limitation of 40 minutes. So we couldn't, it's like, you know, what would you do? Like, you have 35 songs that you think that they're all amazing, And then, you know, the executive producer tells you these are the 10. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no, like, no, we can't miss this. We can't miss that. We can't, no, like, we can't.
Right.
So, but he's like, no, but we have a vinyl. We can't fit more than, like, 10 songs. So we had to really, I think it was really me. Like, it's not even ever, it's really me. I said, okay, like, I'd rather have shorter arrangements. And more songs. Like, would you rather the album not to have She Gets Me High or We're Not So Different or Jive? Or, well, Jive is a song with Johnny. We'll go there anyway. But you know, there's some other sides of us that you would miss. Like, We're Not So Different is a song that is so us. It has this reggae and rock, and it's nobody does that. Like, it's I don't hear it. It's so us. So how can you lose that?
Right.
You can't. So we'd rather not have a solo there, because trust me, like, there is a solo there, but we'd rather not have it, because then we get the song on the record and you get to hear it. You know, come to the show and hear how we jam it out. But I think that was one of the things. It was to try and fit 12 songs into the thing. This is why we got the music with William Bell is so short, because it's like, you know, we can go on and on, but like, we will miss another song.
Right.
So it's really, I think the vinyl really made it difficult, man. And now that I think about it, the vinyl really, we could have done 16 songs or 14 songs, you know, on a CD, mm-hmm. and jam it out and be good to go. The label wanted, and we wanted to have vinyl. And have a vinyl release. I think that's something that is very us also.
So you mentioned something there. You mentioned two things there that I think were really interesting. And the first jumping off point is this notion that you are Southern Avenue. So you know, even though you play R&B and blues and funk and reggae styles, it's all of those styles that come together that give you your very unique sound. There's not a lot of bands. First of all, there's no bands on the radio that sound like you, but there's not a lot of bands more generally gigging around North America or even the world that sound like Southern Avenue. So that's important, right? Keeping true to your sound, whether you're condensing songs to fit on a record or what have you. I mean, you and Tierney and TK have a vision of what you guys sound like, and that must be critically important, right?
It was so hard on this one also, because the album with the first one, Kevin the Magician Houston, like, recorded us, mixed us, mastered us, and then when it got remastered, of course, with Stax, then he didn't master, but he was mixing the mistake or blood mistakes, the revisions, uh-huh. that, you know, when we got signed, he had. So we had a point guard the whole way, and now with this one, once we were done, it was sent to LA, and then another guy remixed everything, and then I got it, and I was like, oh no, where is the guitar? Mm-hmm. What's happening? Like, where is the keyboard? Like, where's Jeremy? Like, what's happening here? And so it was freak out. This is why it took longer. This is why we finished mastering in March and we released it in May. Nobody does that.
Right.
Because, like, we thought we were going to finish mastering in December, but I kept, to be honest, at least, they had whatever, I'm not going to go in there, but, like, I stretched the process for weeks over weeks with my revisions. And when the producer was good, the executive producer were good, it was not Southern Avenue. Like, Keep On, especially the single, I had to work the most on to sound like Southern Avenue. And when you have somebody who mixes us who's not aware of who we are and what we're trying to accomplish and our legacy, then it makes it like, you know, it's like double. It's like you're shooting in both of your legs, basically.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So it's like, in a way, I had to really bring everything back to. So what you're saying is very true. Like, and you know, it's so easy to screw it up. Like, it's so easy because again, we're not independent. We're signed. We're so thankful to be signed. And it really, look, I released two records on my own. I know what it is to be your label and publicist and radio promo, and I know how it is. So I'm very thankful to having them. But we have a partner that puts money in our pockets to record. So we have to respect that, you know?
Yeah.
And let it simmer and not just like, okay, well, but really understand the meaning of it. So this is why, you know, I'm okay. Like, I understand why I went to LA and everything, but then at some point I put my foot down and I was like, this is not Southern Avenue. I need twice more volume for guitar, twice more volume for keyboards, put the bass a bit down. Where are the backup vocals? Like, why is this just the drums and bass band suddenly? No, like, we need, like, it was a lot of things, and it's okay, they don't know, we know, and it was a lot of work on my end to really keep Southern Avenue, but then it goes all the way back to writing the songs. When you write the songs, like, I think the songs are, like, even the production is good on being true to us, but the songwriting evolved in a way that it doesn't matter how you would produce it, it would still be us, to be honest
right.
with you. Because we just made, I think the whole album, this album is an upgrade, songwriting-wise,
mm-hmm.
On so many aspects. Like, Too Good For You is a continuation of Rumble. And, you know, The Lucky is a continuation of What Did I Do? And Love Me Right. And TAC is that shuffle that we never got to do. We're going to make it is that slow blues that never made it into the first album, but now we made it. This just evolvement of songwriting that I think that me and Tierney had, and TK also is more involved. Like, me and TK and William wrote We Got the Music. Tierney wasn't even involved. You know, it's just we just evolved with our songwriting, and I think that's something that I'm very proud of, and we just work way better now with one another also. Like, me and Tierney are way better at understanding each other,
mm-hmm.
and TK. And so we really evolved on that. So that's something that I'm very, you know, very happy about. Yeah.
And the other thing that you mentioned is that, you know, these are songs that are going to be played live, because off the top you said that you're a band that needs to be on the road. So people will be exposed to these songs as you originally envisioned them, with, you know, longer solos and places for TK to play a little bit more and stuff like that. So it really mm-hmm. is, you know, a calling card in many ways for people who don't know about you to hear you and then to go and see your shows, because you are constantly touring. And, you know, people talk about touring, but I mean, and we'll get into this a little later, you're really constantly touring. You're really on the road. I want to get back to the making of the record, because it was mm-hmm. recorded at the Sam Phillips recording studio in your home base of Memphis. So important to go there, obviously, given the history of that building and being in Memphis?
Yeah, but, you know, this is like... But to be honest, it's only a distraction. You know, it really was only a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
Recording where it's in a museum is a lot harder than recording in a dive.
Right.
You know, so we had to respect the place. Respect the place means when it's time to go, it's time to go. You don't stay a minute over.
Right.
When it's the beginning, it's like the beginning. You start the day, nobody comes half an hour earlier. Everybody makes the bets. You know, it's corporate coffee. So it's a bit different. And we were like, we had a very tight schedule. This is why I'm saying that we still felt rushed, even though it was way more time to plan. But I think that it was just so hard to really be able to just do what we want to do. And that's really the one side of the coin. Of course, the other side is that the first few hours there were the best of the whole week, because we were like, we got a tour, we got to see the place, we were like, oh, there's ghosts here, this is cool, whatever, and then that's it, and then you get to work, you know?
Right.
And then at that point, it doesn't matter anymore where you're recording. Uh-huh. So, and let me just say that, like, I was the one that was the most excited because I'm like, oh my God, like, what am I even doing here? Uh-huh. But the girls and Jeremy, they didn't care at all. They didn't care.
Right.
Like, they don't care. They really don't care. St. Phillips, this, that, they're Royal. They don't care.
Uh-huh.
When you're in Memphis, all of these places you went to when you were a kid for tours.
Right.
For you, it's just a fact.
Uh-huh.
It's like going to Jaffo, or going to I don't know, to Akko. Or going to, it's like you go and you know what you live there, like, even
yes.
though it's 2,000 years of history.
Yeah,
I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter. I'm trying to get my bread in the grocery and move on. Like, it's the same. They just trying to make a record, and this is the same studio that has been here forever, and that's it.
Lots of guests on the record: William Bell, bassist Gage Markey. And that horn section, I mean, that's a hot, hot horn section. How are you going to be able to take that stuff? Who is the bass player now touring with you guys?
So it's a good, you know, we thought that you saying it, it sounds pretty cool. We didn't think, like, I don't think that we have a lot of guests on the record, because for me, they're all part of the band. Like, I'll explain, you know, Gage was with us playing for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Touring with us, one of the best people I've ever worked with. I can't say this about a lot of people. I really trust him, and he's a guitar player.
Uh-huh.
He's not a bass player, and we originally hired him as a tour manager because he's also a sound engineer, like from the University of Memphis, graduated. Like, he's a professional front house.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had to fire my temporary bass player at the time because he was just slacking. And I was like, Gage, like, can you play bass? And he was like, yeah, I'll learn the songs. And we rather have somebody we love and trust.
Right.
That is not the best musician right now, but he'll get better. And if he becomes amazing, then we're good. If he doesn't, we're good. And he didn't. It's not like he's not good enough. He's a great guitar player. It's just very hard to ask from somebody to become something so quickly when you're always on the road, always touring, you're never home. Mm-hmm. It's like, when do you get to really get better? When do you really get to work on your stuff? When do you really... Never. I mean, to be honest with you, So we realized at some point, especially after recording the album, like, I played bass on Switch Up.
Hmm.
The liner notes. Then you'll see that, like, I played bass because I just felt like I get it more than him at the moment. And this is, you know, and it's very, I'm being super honest, because he's not like Evan Sarver, the bass that we have now, you know, graduated from classical upper bass in like university for music. He plays bass since he's five. His dad is a famous bass player in Richmond, Virginia. Mm-hmm. He played bass with Bruce Hampton for 2 years. That's just a bass player in heart, and that's what we need.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need musically. Socially, we love Gage, and we miss him so much. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how much we love the guy. But, like, if you ask him, Gage, are you a bass player? He won't tell you yes.
Right.
And that's okay. You know? And I'll put that on record, and I'll say that everywhere. Like, yes, Southern Avenue picks your character over talent.
Right.
The team is more important than, you know, than the individual.
And the horn section, are they coming with you on the road, or do you have other players?
Perfect. So the horn section thank you for reminding me. The horn section are guys that, first of all, they recorded on the first record.
Oh.
Same guys. Mm-hmm. The best in Memphis for me. And the reason I got them for the second one is because I want to have the same, like you said, the same sound. I wanted both albums to have the same vibe, and I knew that one of the most important things is to get the same, like, get Art and Mark to arrange,
mm-hmm.
and that's how we will get the continuity. And I don't know, the album would not be the same without, like, they, the way that they smashed everything together and the way that they arranged the horns to be just what we needed. And, you know, they have our best interests at heart. They work so hard. And I hope, hopefully they'll always be our horn players on the record. Like, that's something that I'm hoping. I think that one of the things that make a lot of good bands, famous bands like Epic, is their continuity in things like that.
Right.
You know, have things that, some things change, but you need to have, like in music, it's called contrapunct. When one note goes up, the other one goes down.
Yeah.
But then they all work together. So that's kind of what I'm seeing. It's kind of the same thing here, is that, like, though, if the horns stay, then it just grounds everything to where it needs to be, because it's our guys, it's the, you know, and I think they did, man. I and we can't, of course, we can't take them on the road. I mean, you know, it's, we can't afford that, and we don't want to get, like, cheap guys that are not as good and they're flat all the time, or sharp. You don't want to, you know, horn players don't have frets,
right?
So if they're not really good, then it's obvious. So it's, you know, we're just being patient. We don't feel like we need it. We don't feel like we need it. We feel like we, if anything, we can use more backup vocals.
Yes.
To bring that element that is in both of our albums that we're missing live. But, you know, again, like, we've just been a band for 2 or 3 years. I mean, come on. I mean,
I mean,
you know, like,
I get it.
A decade. You know?
I get it.
Yeah.
We'll go back to our chat with Ori Nuftali of Southern Avenue in just a second. But I wanted to make sure I told you about a really great contest the band has going on at pgroove.net. In fact, it's super easy for you to take home a copy of the new record on vinyl. Just head over to pgroove.net/vinyl-contest and enter your email address. That's it. The contest closes June 4th, 2019 at 12:01 a.m. You can enter as many times as you want, but only once per day. And you'll get a bonus entry if you share the link provided and someone else submits their email using your link. So, share away. The winner will be randomly selected from all the entries. The winner will also be notified via email, so don't be silly and create a whole bunch of fake accounts that you forget the password to. I can tell you firsthand that this record, the band since 2009's Heal, is amazing. The band is set to get on the road in the fall, and you can learn more about everything you need to know about Perpetual Groove at pgroove.net. Now, let's get back to the show. We mentioned a few songs already. We mentioned Keep On, and we mentioned Lucky. There's a few other songs that I want to ask you about. Too Good For You is an interesting song, because obviously Tierney is not singing about her love. She's singing about probably the past. Or did she even write? Did you guys write that song together? How did "Too Good for You" come about?
So yeah, it's a good question. I mean, it's really two things. I mean, sometimes Tierney writes from her own experiences, and sometimes she writes from her alter ego. Sometimes she writes from her subconscious. Like, I know I'm being deep right now, but but, like, subconscious, I'll start from the end. Subconscious means that she writes without understanding. She writes a story that is not real at all, but she doesn't understand that what she's writing is what she would want to do.
Right.
And that's Rumble. Like, Rumble is from the first record. It's not a song that... is a song. Yeah, she doesn't. She never chased a woman. She never beat her up. She never, like, that's not Tierney.
Right.
I mean, although she can be tough, but that's not really what happened. But that's what she would want to do, you know. So that's really her subconscious. Now, sometimes she writes about, for "Too Good for You," for example, is really about her. Because, you know, "Too Good for You" is really what it is. On the surface, it's about a woman that says, "I'm too good for you, you know, I'm over you, and I'm not going to be used, and so."
Right.
But you know, behind it, it's more about the feeling of a man that always, men basically always trying to keep women low.
Yes, it's an empowering song.
See, like they're higher.
Yeah, so it's empowerment.
And yes, yes, yes. So it's like, but it's like, you know, it's like She Gets Me High. You know, She Gets Me High is a basically a lesbian song, or you know, it's a song about two women and a man that is in the middle. But that's not like true. You know, of course, like everybody today, all the girls today, they like girls. You know, it's very popular. So it's like not really. So of course, there's that. But no, it's more about things she sees around her.
Right.
And this like story that she, you know, like tries to make. But Tierney's been through a lot, you know. It's for her to share,
no, but that's fine.
I mean, you don't just have, you know, two kids at a young age and then on a single mom, and she's been through things that I've been through a lot, and
right.
and I've not been through some of her stuff she went to when she was very young, and you know, and nothing that anybody else didn't do, and you know, a lot of people around me and you've been through, but it's still things that are like very hard. So like, who knows, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting that you mentioned She Gets Me High, because in my notes here, I wondered if this was payback for Too Good for You, because it is, you know, about.
Yeah, there's always that man that she's talking about. And that man is basically the black man, you know, I mean, with all the African-American, black American stereotype.
Right.
The person that, and that's something that it's totally my translation. And it's something that she's, you know, referring to, like, and that's something that as a, you know, it's being hard being a woman, being a black woman is really hard. You know, it's really hard. So I think that it's just part of that, you know, part of like, I'm a woman, I'm strong, I'm a black woman, and I don't need to apologize. And then, you know, Too Good for You and Rumble, I think it just comes from that experience of being, you know, her personal experience, really. It's like Peace Will Come and was written about my personal experience, and then she, of course, combined some of her, of course, but it comes from, like, Peace Will Come, my inner peace inside all this craziness around me. So the same thing is, like, these songs are, like, kind of her own perspective. So
that's a perfect segue into We're Not So Different, because it really is about, you know, everybody brings kind of their own baggage to a relationship, whether it's romantic or not. And We're Not So Different sort of breaks that down and says, you know, we're both gone through stuff. We're both continuing to go through stuff. And yet we're trying to be understanding of one another and be there for one another. And so that means that we're not so different from one another. And that's why that song, I guess, works so well.
We're Not So Different is this is, again, what I like about Tierney's writing. And also, I'm the same. So she can translate my thoughts in English.
Right.
Is that it's being very literal and like added. Like, We're Not So Different is about police brutality.
Ah.
Just as much as it is about relationship between people.
Yes.
It's about racism. Mm-hmm. About prejustice. It's about me being, you know, stereotyped for being an Arab, even Muslim, even though I'm super, it doesn't get more Moses than this guy or Jesus than this guy over here.
Yeah.
Okay. But there's the stereotype, and then there's, you know, again, and then there's the whole thing that I'm really, really, really upset about. And I mean, you're in Canada, so it's like, it's cool because you're a foreigner, so both of us can talk about America.
Uh-huh.
But like in a way, it's like it's horrible. Like,
yes,
people are just getting shut down for nothing. People with pregnant people with like mental disability. Now, there's no mercy. There's no benefit of the doubt. There's no you know, it's like, it's so scary here. Bulletproof backpacks at Walmart. Like, who sells bulletproof backpacks? Even in the most dangerous country in the world, they don't sell bulletproof backpacks.
Yes.
And you're selling bullet. So that is, we're not so different a lot. Like, that's that. It's like we're not, like, me, my face, my color, my race, my religion, you know, I love you, everybody from all different types of whatever. And I just feel like that song is so strong about saying it the way it is. I can't recall the lyrics exactly, but the chorus is just, it says it the way it is. This is what we like to do.
Who's singing with Tierney on that song?
So we've got the music is TK singing the first verse. Then the record label screwed up and didn't give her credit on the liner notes. She was super bummed about that. She was like, oh my God. But she sings the first verse on We've Got the Music with William Bell. On We're Not So Different, it's only Tierney.
Sorry. I'm curious about, you know, you mentioned that, you know, you probably think in a different language still, even though you've been in the United States for not very long. You probably think and have thoughts in a different language. How's Tierney picking up on that language? How's her Hebrew coming along?
Oh, she has the app. Yeah, she's working on it, and she loves Hebrew. She's been to Israel already, so she kind of already understands the dialect and everything. But it's crazy. I keep one time I'm being super supportive, and I'm like, yes, like learn, and then the other time, I don't know if it's a Jewish stereotype or not, but I'm being hard sometimes on my language. I'm like, who needs to learn Hebrew? It's like, we're 14 million people and only like 5 million of us know it.
That's right. It's not even a current language. It's a new language.
5 million people speak it.
Yeah.
And like, you're trying to have an effort. So like, sometimes I laugh and I'm like, man, like, this is useless for you. I don't need you to do it. But then, you know, it's, I think that it's hard for her not to be involved and not understand whenever I'm talking to my family or whatever I'm watching. I'm watching a lot of rabbis on YouTube, or I'm watching Israeli news or sports, or whatever it is. She wants to feel like she's not missing out on anything.
That's great.
So that's part of it, you know, and we want to have our own language that nobody understands.
For sure.
That's really what she's probably into.
Thanks so much for the record. It's a beautiful record. I do want to mention that you guys are on the road again. I mean, I looked at it and it's insane, man. Like, you're heading over to Europe and, well, first you're playing the Summer Camp Festival here, and then you're heading over to Europe for most of May, most of June, and then it doesn't stop. You come home and then you're back on the road here for July. Like, does the touring ever stop?
No. Even when we stop, it stops for a weekend. That's a stop. A weekend is a long break for us.
Yeah.
Like, if we don't have a show in a weekend, and it's crazy. And we do have that in the summer. We took one weekend off, but I'm already getting offers, and everybody's like, oh, just do one show, just 8 hours away. It's crazy. And the main reason is because, we have a good product, in my opinion.
Yes.
And we need to show it to people. And our product is not as viral as other products. You look at Tierney, you expect her to sing like she sings. You look at TK, okay, well, you don't know if she's a drummer. But again, it's like, it's kind of obvious. You look at me, okay, he's a rock and roll guitar player. We're just doing, like, I don't think we have that gimmick to really do things the easy way, even though we're super talented, but that doesn't mean anything. Everybody's good. So So I think that, like, we just need to do the right way, which is grassroots work, if that's how you say it.
Yeah.
And really work out. And you can see, we can see it in Tampa, Florida, first time 30 people. Now, fifth or sixth time, we're back, and we have, like, 300 people.
Yeah.
And then in Seattle, the same, like, 50 people. And then now every time we come, it's 300 or 400 people. So we build it because we I know that's the right way to do it. Because if we – you can't, you know, break a building that has a good foundation.
Yes.
So whenever the music business will give us hits, you know, will try to take us down. And it will. It will. It spits you out as you know, as fast as it chews you in.
Mm-hmm.
So when we'll get spit out, we'll have enough foundation and fan base and legacy to not even, you know, to maybe even elevate that other than like get hurt. But if we will just stay at home and only take the shows that make money for us, you know, or only the show, like we take, this is why one day we're in Springfield, Missouri. The next day we're in LA.
Yeah.
And then 3 days later we're in Illinois. 2 days later we're in London. And then it's because we're really taking all the offers we can to be seen as much as we can. And
that's great.
And next year, who knows, if you know, really life is so short, you got to take it while you can.
Well, you're opening, you know, for, you're doing support or opening for the Tedeschi yeah. Trucks Band in the fall, and that must be a thrill that you must be excited about, being able to.
Oh, man, it's bigger than the album. It's bigger. It's way bigger than the album. The responses we got from this was way bigger than us announcing we have a new album.
Uh-huh.
The way that, like, I feel now like I made it.
Uh-huh.
Like, now when people in Israel will come and be like, oh, man, I always say, nah, I'm more poor than I ever was. This is all bullshit, you know? Sorry for the language.
No, it's okay.
But then, like, but now I can't say that.
Right.
I mean, I'm opening for the Tedeschi Trucks Band. I mean, I made it.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, it's not about making money. Like, I made it. Like, yeah. What else can I ask for? Like, I made it. What? Like, that's it. Like, I can't say I didn't, and I'm just, like, doing the same grind. Because opening, again, being in that level puts us in a place where these people, you have no idea, even if you think you do, how anal they are about
professional
who they support. No, it's way more than professional.
Oh, it's
pedant.
Yes, they're very
It's OCD about it. They're crazy. They're really, really, really crazy about who they tour with, who is in their circle,
yeah,
and who they associate who they associate themselves with.
Right.
So the fact that they try, that they okay with associating us with them, the fact that they. This is like, oh my God, I'm just feeling like maybe I'm good. Maybe I'm really good. Yeah. Like maybe we are as good as people say we are. I don't think we are.
I think you're pretty good. I think you're pretty good.
I think we have years before I can tell you that. But now, I don't know. Now I don't know.
I didn't even mean professionally. And you know, I appreciate that. But just to be able to watch, for the opportunity to watch Derek play and see how... that guy.
Oh, everything.
Who's been doing it
everything.
For so long? Yeah, everything. Well,
everything. Seeing the crew, seeing the yeah. It's we learned so much from the Galactic and JJ Gray.
Yes.
And all these other revivalists and all these guys. So like with them, I can't wait. You know, and hopefully, you know,
you've earned it.
Healthy.
You've earned it. You're doing great. We couldn't be happier for you and for everybody else. And congratulations on Keep On and congratulations
Thank
on the support that you're giving Tedeschi Trucks in the fall. And hey, man, keep on, right? Just keep on doing what you're doing.
We're so happy, man. I'm thank you for having me. I mean, it's that's cool.
That's our pleasure.
It's always good to reflect on my life, you know.
Hey, man. Thanks. Be well. Okay. And mazel tov
again
on the announcement. Be well.
Tudaraba.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The story of how this band came together is a thing of the past. This is a band with Tierney's vocal stylings and Ori's playing that is set to write a much deeper history, and we couldn't be happier for them and the rest of the band. This is a hot band live, and you don't want to miss them on the road. For more on the Southern Avenue tour schedule and lots of great performance videos, visit southernavenuemusic.com. Before we leave you, let's listen to another great track off Keep On. Here is We're Not So Different.
We are not so different, you and I. Regardless of who's privileged, we've all got rights. We provoke division and then we fight. Giving them the power, they shade our side. There is good and there is bad. To ignore crimes over bloodshed. It's just as low as the man behind the trigger. He doesn't care. He doesn't children, you cry like I. No justice, no senses, an innocent life. It's a lingering presence that wants a sigh. There is good and there is bad. To ignore crimes over bloodshed. It's just as low as the man behind the trigger. He doesn't care. He doesn't
been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. The Sound Podcast is part of the Osiris Network. For more, visit OsirisPod.com. Thanks for listening.
Osiris.